Today I wanted to sort of base our talk on the Torah reading, the Torah reading for today, the parasha that has some jewels. Always in the Word of God you find some jewels. So there is nothing too hard for God. And I hope you believe that. And I know what you're going through today, but I hope that this brings some hope to your life. And guys, I'm going to be moving fast, so you just follow and click, okay? Thank you for your help in the back. So go ahead into the introduction. How many times you find yourself facing circumstances that seem too big to handle? How many times are we confronted with problems that we believe are too difficult to solve? We all go through things, times like that. How many times have you told yourself, this is too hard for me, or I'm not able to do this? Today I want to like to talk about and look at God's Word to see, to make sure that you know that there is nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that He cannot handle. And so I want to do an illustration, and I met some Mexican people, maybe they relate to this, but when I was, many years ago, I was serving in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we had a man by the name of Jose, and at the end of the service, I would go out at the back and greet him, and I say, how you doing, Jose? And he would say, my Diosito is helping me very much. Diosito means little God in Spanish. You know, so it's a familiar way that some Mexicans have to relate to God. So I would tell him all the time, now, Jose, I don't know what God you believe in, but my God and the God of the Bible is not a Diosito. He's not a small God. He's the greatest God. He's the only God, and He's the God of the universe. So don't think that God is a small God. God is the greatest God of all, the only God, as we said today. Huh? There is no other beside Him. So I want to read a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 32, and then we'll use other scripture as well. But Jeremiah chapter 32, you know, Jeremiah is known to be the prophet who is lamenting and in sorrow, because he was in a difficult time when Jerusalem was about to be taken over. Jerusalem was surrounded by the Babylonians that was going to be taken over in a time. So he's praying to the Lord. And in Jeremiah 32, verse 7, he cries out to God and says, oh, Lord Adonai, our God, you yourself made the heavens and the earth by your great power and with your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. That's what he cries out to the Lord. He can take him out of this problem, like we prayed to God that he can take Israel out of a problem that they're having now. And then in the same chapter, chapter 32 of Jeremiah, verse 27, the Lord answers to him, and he says, look, I am Adonai, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Adonai says. And of course, there is nothing too difficult for him. So as we go, I want to share a few ideas. The first thing, as we go to the next slide, the first thing is that God is more able than any physical circumstance that you might be going through. What do we mean by that? Well, he's able to handle, for instance, any problem that you have, we have with our own physical bodies. And as we read in Genesis chapter 28, I'm not going to read it, chapter 18, excuse me. I'm not going to read all the story from verses 9 through 14, the story of Sarah, Abraham's wife, who could not have children, as we read today. And God has promised this couple that they would become a great nation, and their descendants will be a great nation. And you wonder, how is it going to happen? You know, she's 90 years old, he's 100 years old. And so when she was 90, God gave him a son named Yitzhak. The Bible says that Sarah laughed when he heard that promise. He goes, how is it going to happen? I'm 90 years old. But yet God gave him a son, the son of a promise. And she laughed just like any other woman would laugh if you're 90 years old, barren, and you get pregnant. So it's not normal, but God can do it. Why? because God is a God of impossibles. And that's why they name him Laughter, Yitzhak, because he says, as in verse 14, as we read in Genesis 18, verse 14, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? So he can take care of any physical problem. The next thing is that he can also take care, like in a similar situation, happened with Elizabeth, the wife of Zechariah, in the book in Luke chapter 1 of the Brit Hadashah, when they say that this couple was serving the Lord, wife of Zechariah the priest. She was also barren, it says. We're not going to read it, but in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, 5 through 7, it says that she was also barren and they couldn't have children. And yet it says that it doesn't give their age, but they were well stricken in years, it says in Luke chapter 1. And yet the Lord made a miracle in their life. They had a son, Yohanan the Baptizer, or John the Baptist, as we know. And the Bible says that this truth, in verse 44, this truth brought joy into their life. Why? Because when God does something great in our lives, he brings joy to our lives. Huh? He wants us to enjoy the lives he gives us in our bodies. How about you? You know, do you have, maybe some of us have physical problems. As I'm getting up in age, the body tells me that I'm getting up in age. And we have a reminder. And maybe you're going through difficulties. Maybe I encourage you. Some people don't like to pray about their physical illness. Sometimes we have pride for whatever reason. But we need to pray. In the book of James chapter 1, James chapter 5, in verse 14, the Lord tells his followers through the word of God that if anyone is among you who is sick, he says he should call the elders and of the congregation, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil. So it's a combination of prayer to the Lord that he would participate, that he would act in our life, and also taking medicine, do what the doctor says. God can do it if it's his will. We pray for the sick. We anoint them with oil to rub, as the Jewish people used to do. But if it's within God's purpose, he can do it and he will do it if it's according to his will. And I would say, maybe you say, well, Brother Jorge, I've had this situation. I've been praying for it. I don't seem to get an answer. Well, you know, God answers yes or no or wait. And if he's making you wait for whatever you're praying for, he will give you and I the strength that we need to go through the difficult time that we have. But God is able to take care of anything that happens in our physical life. And then as we go to the next slide, God is not only able to take care of our physical problems, he's also able to take care of problems with nature. Remember the book of Mark, chapter 4, when the Lord Yeshua was with his disciples, and they were in the Sea of Galilee. And as it's normal in the Sea of Galilee, storms can show up any minute. And in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, tells us the story that they were in the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and Yeshua was resting in the back of the boat. And a big storm came, and the boat was moving, and the waves were big, and water was coming into the boat. And the disciples were scared of drowning, and they woke Jesus, Yeshua, up and complained, "Don't you even care that we're about to drown?" And the Bible says that Yeshua rebuked the wind and commanded the sea to be still, and nature obeyed him. And the storm was history. And the disciples who were scared before, they were scared now even more because they realized they were in the presence of God himself. Nowadays, we have times of floods and storms and tornadoes and hurricanes and blizzards and tsunamis and whatever, and big snowstorms here in Canada. But God is still in control. It's not the Weather Channel. It's God who is in control. And he can take care of any problem with nature that comes around. He's able to take care also of any material problems that we might have. Whether it's your job, some of you might be looking for jobs or better jobs. where it is money matters, or debts that pile up, or illness, or time management, or any other kind of material circumstance that we go through. God is more powerful than any and all of these problems He can take care of. He is able to solve physical, natural, and material problems affecting our lives. What do we need to do? We need to trust Him, to remain faithful to Him until we find and get an answer from Him, because He will answer and give us what we need according to His will, and He will bring joy and laughter to our life. He will bring joy to us. That's what He wants. So God is able than any physical problem or circumstance that we might go through. But also, as we move on, God is able to take care of any moral circumstance that we might be going through, that might be affecting our lives. And sometimes we don't like to talk about these things, but we might have things in our lives that are not right with the Lord. Remember the story of Zacchaeus and Yeshua there in Luke chapter 19. This man, the Bible says that he was a chief among tax collectors. He wasn't too popular, I assume. He wasn't too popular. He was a chief among tax collectors, and he had become rich by stealing and cheating and blackmailing people. So he had made money not the right way, but doing the wrong things. And in addition to all that, he was considered also a traitor for collecting money for the Roman Empire. So he had it all against it. The least of his problems, the one we always remember him from, is that he was short in stature. Huh? We remember that, but that was the least of his problems. Anyway, it says that when Yeshua came by there in Jericho, Zacchaeus tried to see him, and because he was short, he went up into the tree and tried to see Yeshua. And Yeshua said, "Come down, and I will visit you." And the Lord visited Zacchaeus in his home, and in his heart, and in his life. And Zacchaeus was transformed by the power of God, because Yeshua touched him and told him the word of God, what he needed to do to repent and to make things right. And God took care of his bad moral habits, and they were over. And to prove that he had changed in his life, that God has changed him, he gave half of his belongings to the poor and restored 4 times what he had taken illegally from other people. The Bible says that he used to cheat and steal, and he stopped doing it. Rabbi Shaul, Paul, before he was a follower of Yeshua, also had a big change in his life. He used to persecute believers like you and me and bring him to justice and kill many of them. And yet the Lord met him in the way to Damascus, and he transformed his life completely, so much so that he became one of the great, great preachers of the Word of God. I read a story that maybe can help us, because I wonder if maybe you have a secret problem, some moral issue or circumstance in a life that takes your sleep away. Things that maybe just God and yourself know about. Things that we don't talk to anybody else. Maybe we're not being honest in our job, or maybe we're having problems with our spouses and are being unfaithful, or maybe we have the bad habit of not telling the whole truth. Maybe it's something that started small and now it's become a norm and we can't control in our life. I found this story that is not mine, but it's an illustration that I want to read to you. It's called "The Lark That Would Trade His Feathers for Worms." Listen to this story. It says, "A lark singing in the high branches of a tree saw a traveler walking through the forest carrying a mysterious little black box. The lark flew down onto the traveler's shoulder and he asked him, 'What do you have in that little black box?' The traveler replied, 'I have worms.' The lark asked, 'Are they for sale?' The man answered, 'Yes, and very cheap too. The price is only one feather.' So the lark thought for a moment, I must have a million feathers, most of them quite small. Surely I will never miss one of them. So here's an opportunity to get a good dinner for no work at all. So he told the man that he would buy one. So he searched under his wing for a tiny, tiny feather. He winced a little bit as he pulled it out, but the size and the quality of the worm make him quickly forget the pain. And then high up in the tree, he began to sing as beautifully as before. The next day, he saw the same man, and once again, he exchanged one feather for a worm. He said, "What a wonderful way to get a dinner and no effort at all." I will skip the next day and the next day and the next after that. I'm sure you can see in your minds what's coming. In any event, he lost a feather each day, and he found it more difficult as time passed and passed. Each day it seemed that it hurt less and less to lose a feather. To begin with, he had a lot of feathers, but then as the days passed, he found it more difficult to fly. Finally, after the loss of one of his primary feathers, he could no longer reach the top of the tree, let alone fly into the sky. Indeed, he could no more than flutter a few feet in the air and was forced to seek his food with the quarrelsome, bickering sparrows. The man with the worms came no more, for there were no more feathers to pay for the worms. The lark no longer sang because he was so very ashamed of his fallen state. The illustration concludes, this is how unworthy habits possess us. First, painfully, then more easily, until at last we find ourselves stripped of what lets us soar and sing. Most of our bad habits begin to grow in us slowly. Maybe they start as something we might not have noticed, but little by little, they begin to take us down and away from God and His standards. Question I ask myself and I ask you this morning, have you compromised your beliefs in the Lord or your biblical principles or your morals? Let's take care of them today through confession, through repentance, and the forgiveness that comes from the Lord. Remember, God is a God of the second and third and fourth opportunities. God is bigger than any moral problem that might be affecting you or any circumstance affecting your lives. He is able to deliver you and me from any of these. And the third thing, not only can God take care of any physical circumstance or any moral circumstance, but the Lord is also able to take care of any spiritual circumstance that we might be going through. In the book of the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we know the story of Yeshua and Nicodemus. This man who was famous and a prominent leader, a head of the Pharisees and a teacher of the Torah. You know the story how he came to Yeshua at night, not wanting to be seen and not wanting to put his position of eminence in jeopardy. But in spite of all that he had, in spite of all his knowledge of Scripture and all his religiosity, he still had a void in his life, an emptiness that could not resolve. Yeshua told him he needed to be born again of the Ruach, of the Spirit of God, in order to find fulfillment, to find purpose, and to find eternal life with the Lord. I sometimes think that human beings are like automobiles. Now, you say, how can we be like automobiles? Well, cars have a gas tank. And so far, unless you have an electric car, unless you put gas in it, it won't work. Now, you can try milk or water or Coke even, but it won't start unless you put gas in the tank. In that sense, we are the same way. Sometimes we try to fill our lives, our spiritual tank, with things that are strange to us and that we think that will make our lives better, but we cannot function properly. We think sometimes that if we make more money, we get a better job, we work more, we have more pleasure, or we do sometimes things that God doesn't approve, gaming or drinking or other things that go against His word, maybe those things will make us happy and fulfilled. But you know, and I know many stories of people that have lost their lives in this and have believed Satan's lies that these things can bring fulfillment to our lives. Very soon we discover that all these lies make us feel miserable and not give us fulfillment in life. Why? Because only Yeshua can satisfy the spiritual needs in our life. Our void can only be filled by Him. And I know most of you are followers of Yeshua. You experience this in your life somehow. But let's make sure that we follow Him faithfully. As we go on, I don't know what problem we might have or you might be going through. Maybe your spiritual problem or your search this morning is something between you and the Lord. Maybe it's pride that you want to take care of things yourself and not let the Lord guide you. Maybe you have a disproportionate and unhealthy image of ourselves. In the book of Romans, Rabbi Shaul in Romans 12:3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, tell everyone among you not to think of himself or herself more highly than they ought to think of themselves." In other words, the Bible says we got to have a healthy image of ourselves. Not too high to become too proud. Not think too low of ourselves that we're miserable and that we are in deep, distress because we think too low of ourselves. We have to have the right healthy image of ourselves. Maybe our problem is self-sufficiency, thinking that I can do all things and I can do what I want and I don't need the Lord. This is what we hear around us in society today. Huh? It's me, myself, and I, and you are number one, and you don't need anybody else to help you. But I'm here to say to you, brothers and sisters, that I hope you know this, that we are dependent creatures. God made us that way. God made us in such a way that we can depend on Him. And if we don't depend on Him, our lives are miserable. So I pray that we don't fall in any of these things, that we think that we don't need the Lord. Maybe our problem is unbelief, or lack of faith, lack of trust in the Lord. Maybe you've been praying for something for a while and you don't find the answer and you lost hope. Remember that without faith, as Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please the Lord. We cannot live without faith. We cannot live without trust. We need to go on and don't lose hope, because the answers from the Lord will come. We need to have trust in Him as never before. Maybe our problem is lack of interest or apathy for the things of God and the congregation. I don't know where you are, but whatever it is, I want you to know that God can take care of any circumstance that you're going through today. Why? Because we read in the Tanakh and we read in the Brit Hadashah that there is nothing impossible for the Lord. So as we conclude, I want to say that whatever the spiritual, moral, or physical problem that's bothering you, maybe taking your sleep away during this time, in the authority of the Word of God, I want you to know that there is nothing that the Lord cannot handle. Sometimes even believers, I found this in many people, I hope there's nobody like this here, But sometimes I found believers that say, I have this problem, but I don't think it's big enough. I don't want to bother the Lord with this little thing. There's nothing too big or too small for the Lord. Don't think that this is a small thing that you're going through, that you're going to be bothered. The Lord is there 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days forever. His line is always open. You won't get an answering machine. He always answers when we call. There's nothing too difficult. He can take it to the Lord in prayer, and he will take care of your problem. I conclude with the words from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. You know this passage. The Lord Yeshua says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me," the Lord says, "because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Whatever it is that's bothering you, brothers and sisters, or if you're coming here for the first time seeking answers for your life, God has all the answers. Yeshua the Messiah is the answer for whatever we're going through. Trust him with anything that's going on, and he will give you rest. Amen? Let me pray with you. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, we thank you for your word and your promises. We thank you that you're not a small God, or that you're not like any other God, but that you're all the only one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the universe, God of creator of everything that exists, even our lives. And Father, we come to you thanking you that nothing is impossible for you, that you can take anything and make it right. So Father, I intercede for my brothers and sisters that are here, and for even someone that doesn't know you personally that's looking for answers here today. May they give their lives to you. May we come humbly to you, surrender our hearts and our problems, leaving at the foot of Yeshua, and say, "Lord, I cannot handle this. Seems too difficult for me, but I bring it to you, trusting that you have the answers, and the answers will come. And if it's not the time yet, Father, give us the strength, the energy, the hope, the faith that we need to follow faithfully in endurance, knowing that you will bring your answer in your time, which is always the best time. Father, thank you for loving us the way you do. Forgive us of our failures. Forgive us of our sins. Take our pride away. Help us to come to you just as we are, knowing that you can make our lives better, because that's your plan. We pray in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. Amen.